So today is Senior Sunday, and it's a day that I love each year because we get to not only celebrate our seniors and all that they have done so far in their lives, but we also get to commission them, which means we get to send them off into the next chapter of their life. And I love that we get to do that. And so when I announced that today, May 12th, was Senior Sunday, I got a few responses from some people, and that was, "You're putting Senior Sunday on Mother's Day? What are you thinking? Why are you doing that?" And it's not because I don't love mothers. I don't appreciate you, because I do. And I actually want to spend a moment here to speak to the mothers, especially the mothers of this group of students. As I look at this group of students, I see some people who are going to do some amazing things in their life. Not just some, all of them are going to do some amazing things in their life. And moms and dads, but I'm talking to moms right now, we have to applaud you for that. You have raised these kids to be amazing young adults. And so I want to say well done. Well done, moms, for getting them to this point. And I am excited to see what God is going to continue to do in their lives. And so while this message that I'm about to give is primarily aimed towards these seniors as they're going off into this next chapter, my prayer is that for all of you who are hearing this, whether you're here in this building right now or watching online or watching in the future, my prayer is that you take something from this and that you can apply it into your own life and be challenged by it as well. So by a raise of hands, how many of you would say that, you can take the picture off for a real quick second, don't look, that's okay. How many of you would say that you like hearing stories? Anyone like hearing stories, like especially a good story? So whether it's a story that's real or one that is made up, there's just something about a good story that can just draw us in. And so Miranda and myself, we are at this place in our life. We're in this chapter where we are like the parents of these seniors 15 years ago. And so for those parents of these students here, I want you to think back 15 years. And as you know, I have a picture to help you get back to that moment. So these are our seniors about 15-ish years ago. So this last week for Miranda and myself, we have had this common activity in our household. And it consists of sitting in our bathroom and being super excited every time pee goes into the potty. It is something that's a joy, right? And so if you don't remember potty training for yourself when you were a toddler, or if you haven't had the privilege of training someone else to do this, let me remind you that to a toddler, it is pure torture to say you have to stop playing for a moment to go to the bathroom. They just can't comprehend why they can't keep playing, why they have to stop what they're doing. And while we have multiple ways that we try to encourage Owen to do this and to hopefully make it more enjoyable for the process, one of the things that we do is we take time and we tell each other stories. So we'll take turns and I'll tell a story and Owen will tell a story. And often it's about things that are either just really silly or it's about things that Owen enjoys. And sometimes as I'm telling Owen a story, he has me put him into the story. It's like I started off saying, "Once upon a time, there's this boy. His name was," and I kind of pause to see if this is one he wants him to be a part of. And he'll say, "Owen." And I say, "Owen." And he would love going and doing soapbox races. That's one of Owen's big things right now, soapbox races. If you don't know, watch The Little Rascals. And so I would tell this story. And Owen, I think like a lot of us, loves to be a part of a story. He loves to be a part of something bigger and enter into a story. And so when I think about these seniors here, we're going to be graduating here in a few weeks. I'm excited for you guys in the story that you're writing. I'm excited as you continue to develop this story by learning new things, by meeting new people. And I'm excited for how you will be able to enter into God's story that is happening all around you. So as I was thinking about this idea of stories, preparing for this message, I'm reminded that there's a lot of stories that begin with "once upon a time," and often those stories end with, do you know it? "And they lived happily ever after." That's right. But that's not how God's story begins. Did you know that? That's not how God's story begins. It doesn't begin with "once upon a time." When we look at the Bible and we read, it says that God's story starts with the words "in the beginning." God's story is the origin story for everything that we know today. It wasn't once upon a time, it was the beginning. God's story began it all. So had God not created the world and all that is in it in the beginning, this point of history that we are living right now would not be. We would not be living right now. All of our stories are a part of God's story. And as we read through the Bible, it's and in its entirety, as we go from the book of Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation, we find that it isn't just a whole bunch of short stories put together in one book, but there's actually this thread that is woven throughout the whole Bible, telling us of God's love for us and his desire to be with us, because we are his children. And as I long to be with Owen and Evan, God longs to be with us, his children. This story we find throughout Scripture is the same story that is happening around us today. And God is inviting us all to play a part in it. So the passage that was read for us this morning by Braylon was from Hebrews chapter 12. And if you know basic math, the book right before that is Hebrews chapter 11, which talks about and is sometimes known as the Hall of Faith. It is packed full of ordinary people who saw God's story at work, and they were willing to enter the story to be a part of it. These people, on their own, weren't overly remarkable. But through the gift that God had given them and their willingness to use those gifts in his story, God did some incredible things through them. In Hebrews 11, we read about how Moses saw the Israelites suffering in slavery. And so when God invited him to be a part of the story, he said yes. And he helped lead them out of Egypt with God's power. And then we're also reminded in Hebrews 11 of a person named Rahab and how she hid Israelite spies in her home to protect them from the king of Jericho, because she knew that the Lord had given them that land. She could see God was working around her, and she said, I want to be a part of that. So I'm going to hide these people at my own cost. It might cost me my life, but I want to be a part of God's story. And as you read through Hebrews 11, there's many more people who are listed who saw God doing something around them and listened to what he was calling them, and then they responded by entering into his story and playing their part in it. But today, instead of going each one by each one, I'm going to just focus on two stories we find in Scripture about people who are willing to enter into God's story. So the first one is actually one of my favorite people in the Bible besides Jesus himself, and that is David. David is listed in Hebrews 11. He's one of those Hall of Faithers, if you would. Now, when David was a boy, he was just going to be a shepherd. That was what his life plan was probably going to be. He was raised to be a shepherd. He spent time with the sheep. He spent time learning how to be a great shepherd. He would take the rocks and take his sling and practice defending the sheep from any dangers that were coming. He would spend time looking around, paying attention to if anything was going to happen, whether it's weather or whether it was an animal coming to attack his sheep. He was training himself to be a shepherd. And then there's this one day when the Israelites are facing against the Philistines. His dad calls him over and says, hey, I want you to bring some food to your brothers because they're in the army or in the military. And he says, as he gets there, he sees what's happening. And he sees that there's this giant who's challenging the Israelites. And now David, remember, he's a shepherd boy. He kind of says this. Now, this isn't scripture. This is kind of my paraphrase of what he's saying. He said, well, if God's on our side, why can't we take him down? Is our God not bigger than this giant? All the rest of the Israelites' army, they were hiding in their tents. They were afraid of this big guy who was challenging their army. But David's like, our God is bigger than he is. David was able to see that God was at work there, that God's story was being written right then and right there. And David said, I want to be a part of God's story. I don't know how to use a sword like everyone else here, but I want to be a part of it. And as the king heard about David saying that he was willing, the king brought him in and said, hey, here's my armor, here's my sword, here's my other weapons. And David said, that's not for me. This stuff, it doesn't fit me. I can't fit into your stuff. Your abilities and your training are not what I have in my tool belt. But I have this rock, and I have my sling. That's what I know to use. And I've killed a bunch of bears. I've killed a few lions, too, because I know how to use these things. These are the things I'm gifted with. So David, as he was growing up, he thought he was going to be a shepherd. But in God's story, God had something bigger for him. So David goes out and he faces Goliath. And as Goliath sees him coming, he taunts him. And David responds by saying this: "You come to me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us." So if you know the story of David, you know that it didn't end there for him. After Goliath, it didn't end there for him. It's not the last time we hear about David. He wasn't just like, "All right, I killed the giant, heading back to my sheep for the rest of my life. Thanks for your time." No, God had bigger plans for him. When David said yes to being a part of God's story, this is when a whole other avenue of his life opened up. God blessed him with becoming king one day and for leading the Israelites to worship God and to love God. He could have simply brought the food that his dad said to bring to his brothers, and he could have said, "Wow, good luck to whoever has to take on Goliath. That's going to stink." But that's not what he said. Instead, David said, "God is doing something here. We are his chosen people, and I want to enter into God's story. I want to do my part for God." And when he said, "Yes, God, I'm going to take on Goliath. I'm going to take him on because I know that you are with me." You see, David was willing to be a part of God's story. He was willing to enter into what God was already doing around him. And as we read through Scripture, we read through the Hall of Faith, we see time and time again people who pay attention to how God is working around them and step up to be a part of it. As we jump into the New Testament, we read about Jesus feeding the 5,000. So I'm going to read this story for you this morning, and I want to see if you can find the person who steps up into God's story. So this is John chapter 6, the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus soon saw a huge crowd of people coming to look for him. Turning to Philip, he said, "Where can we buy bread to feed all these people?" He was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. Philip replied, "Even if we worked for months, we wouldn't have enough food to feed them." Then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up, "There's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what good is that to this huge crowd?" "Tell everyone to sit down," Jesus said. So they all sat down on the grassy slopes, the men alone about 5,000. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks to God, and distributed them to the people. Afterwards, he did the same with the fish, and they all ate as much as they wanted. After everyone was full, Jesus told his disciples, "Now gather the leftovers so that nothing is wasted." So who was the person who stepped into God's story? Who was the person who saw that God was doing something and says to themselves, "I want to be a part of that"? Anyone have a guess? You can shout out a little louder. Philip, interesting, interesting. Andrew? The boy. It was the boy. He just breezed over in the story, but it was the boy, this young boy who was listening to Jesus, who had 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. All those other answers are correct. They did enter into God's story. But in this one, this little boy, this young boy, entered into God's story. I'm sure when this boy woke up that morning, I bet he didn't imagine the role that he would be playing in God's story. He probably woke up and maybe he didn't even want to go. Maybe this was his mom's thing. Like, she loved to go to religious teachers and listen to them talk. Maybe some kids here can relate. Have you ever had to encourage your kids to come to church? Maybe this morning it was one of those things you're like, "Man, it's so good to be at church, but it's so hard to be at church sometimes." If that's you, I applaud you for getting here this morning. So maybe this kid didn't want to be there. Maybe he was super excited to be there. We don't know. But all that we do know is as he was there, he was listening to Jesus. Maybe he was close enough. We don't exactly know where he was located. But he might have heard Jesus talking about what was happening. And this kid, he said to himself, "I'm going to be part of God's story." This boy could have hid the food that he had while the disciples were walking around in order to hold it for himself. Because no matter how old he was probably good enough at math, saying, "Okay, there's about 5,000 men here, and I have 5 bread and 2 fish. That doesn't equate. What I have is not enough for everyone." So he could have hid it for himself. And I like to imagine this boy kind of like Owen. I like to imagine Owen, just so I have this picture of what this boy could look like. And I imagine Owen taking out his goldfish and his Scooby snacks out of his backpack. And he's saying, hey, I got these. I can share with you. It's not a lot, but I have this, and I'm willing to share it with you. This boy saw that God was doing something. He knew that Jesus was powerful. He heard him speak. He knew that Jesus was going to do something. And this boy was willing to be a part of it. Now, he might have been like, this isn't going to pay out for me. I'm about to lose my lunch. This probably isn't going to work out in my favor. I might go hungry. But there's also a chance that I get to do something incredible with God. That I get to see something amazing happen right in front of me. And so this boy said as the disciples went around, hey, I have some fish and I have some bread. You can take this. This boy was aware of what God was doing and he was willing to give what he had he was willing to give what he had to offer in order to be a part of God's story. Ephesians 2, verse 10 says this, we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God has created each of us with these gifts that we have inside of us, with these desires and these passions to do the things that we want to do. He has placed those inside of you. And God is inviting us to use those things to enter into his story. The things that are already happening around us. God's already working. He's just saying, hey, come be a part of it. And as I begin to close this message, I want to ask you a question. This is a rhetorical question. You don't have to answer out loud. But how do you enter God's story? How do you enter God's story? And because I love you, I'm going to give you the answers. So here's three things that we can do to enter God's story. And they're not going to be long. Don't worry. I'm not starting my three-point sermon right now. Three things we can do to enter God's story. The first thing is to have eyes open to see how God is at work already around you. To have your eyes open to see what he is doing. Pay attention to how God is moving already. Did you hear something on the radio one day, and then you heard it again somewhere else? What is God telling you in that? Were you reading something and sharing another story, and you see God just connecting these pieces in your life? What is God doing? Have your eyes open to see what God's doing in your life around you. The second thing is to have ears ready to listen to what God is calling you to do. You've seen what he is doing. You know that God's working around you. So then ask the question, God, how can I be a part of this? And if you know any form of good communication, when you ask a question, you wait and you listen. You've asked God, how can I be a part of this? Now take a step back and listen for God to give you the answer. Listen for him to tell you, hey, I want you to do this. It might not be super clear. You might have to really get in tune to hear God. But listen to how he's calling you to be a part of it. So we have our eyes open. We have our ears ready to listen. Now the third thing, we have our feet and hands that are ready to be put into action. So you've seen the things God's doing around you. You've heard his call to you to enter into it. And now you have to be ready to go. You have to be ready to put it into action. If you hear it and see it, that's great, but you're still not entering into God's story yet. You haven't done the work to say, God, I'm wanting to go and follow after you and put myself out there with you. This is how we enter God's story. We see him at work. We hear his call, and then we go and do what he's calling us to do. God is doing some amazing things in the world around all of us. And it is our privilege and our honor to enter this story and to play our role with God's help. Remember David, as he was facing off against Goliath, he's not saying, you know, I was doing push-ups the other day in the field with the sheep. I think I got this guy. Yeah, he's like, what, 7, 8 feet tall? I can do like 25 push-ups. That's not what he was saying. He's saying, I can do this because God is here and he's on my side. It's not my strength that's going to take down Goliath. It is God's strength. And this boy who was listening to Jesus, he didn't say, all right, I got 5 loaves and 2 fish. If I start in that group, I think we might be able to do it. I'm going to go just start handing them out. No, he didn't do that. Instead, he took what he had and he gave it to Jesus and said, you're the one who can multiply this. I'm giving you what I have. God, do what you do and multiply this. So no matter if you are a farmer, an electrician, working in the medical field, protecting our country, helping people walk better, talk better, or smile more confidently, you are invited to be a part of God's story. Whether you're caring for people's hearts or you're caring for people's pets, you are invited to be a part of God's story. And when you enter into the story, those things that might seem mundane, they begin to have an eternal influence. You might begin to see bigger than, oh, I have to do this again today. But instead, your mindset changes to say, I get to do this for God today, no matter what it is. I get to do this for God today. And it's not always the most exciting thing, but someday, when you're giving it your all, giving it all for God, someone might see that and they might start a conversation. And it comes, they might ask, why are you so excited about this? Why are you so passionate about cleaning people's teeth? And you get to say, this is the gift God has given me. God has given me this passion for good oral hygiene, and I love to share that with people. But you get to bring God into the conversation because of what you're doing in those mundane tasks of scrubbing the plaque off and them lying to you about how often they floss. You get to be in those mundane moments and bring God into the conversation. It is an opportunity to share your story and God's story with someone. There is purpose to the gifts that God has woven into who you are. So use them for God's glory and for furthering his kingdom. So seniors, as you sit here today, and everyone else as well, you can listen into this. I encourage you, as you've discovered those gifts that you have within you, to use them and enter into God's story. Would you all pray with me? God, I thank you for this day that we gather together to celebrate these seniors and who you've made them to be. God, we know that there's not one accident up here that is sitting in this front row, that there's no mistake that you've placed in them of a characteristic or an ability. But God, you designed them to be exactly as they are. And God, as they are moving forward in this next chapter of life, I pray that they see you at work and that they are excited to enter into your story, to play their part, to have a kingdom impact in what they do. Whether it's the big things that they do or the small things that they do each day, maybe pointing back to you. And God, I thank you that you invite us into this story. That's not something that you say, I got this, you just watch. But you say, I got this, and I want you to be a part of it. So God, we thank you, and we pray for boldness to enter into the story when the opportunities arise. We pray all this in your name. Amen. So as we continue this Senior Sunday, it is now my privilege to invite up some of our youth leaders to come join me on the stage here as we support our seniors, and not all our youth leaders, so if it's less numbers up here, not all of them were able to be up here this morning, so know that there's more than just these who are supporting them. And so I'm going to invite up our youth team first, but then I'm going to invite up our students. And I'm going to do it by name so that you have a face to picture when I say the name. And there'll also be a picture on the screen too, so you really get to know them. So as I read each senior's name up or out loud, I invite you guys to come up here and make a nice long line up front here. So Derek. And we'll wait for it to applaud at the end. I know we want to clap for every single kid, but we'll wait till the end. Drake. Kevin. Grace. Rachel. Ashlyn. Brody. Veronica. Braylon. And Sadie. You guys can slide down this way so there's a little bit more room for you. So as we celebrate these seniors today, We have a few gifts that we like to give them each year as they move on to this next chapter of life. And so I'm going to explain these gifts to you guys as you're hearing them. You guys can, again, listen in to what I'm saying. But these gifts are intentional. They're not just like, oh, they sound good, we'll give them to you. But there's meaning to the things that we give you. The first thing is we give you this gift of a beautiful quilt. Now, if you look, and I encourage you guys to take a look at these quilts. They were handmade for you, specifically, with you in mind as they were spent sewing. I don't know how quilting actually works, but whatever they're doing, they were thinking of you, praying over you as they were making them. And it is our prayer that as you go off to your next chapter of life, that anytime you pick up this quilt and you wrap it around yourself to be warm, you are reminded that you are wrapped in prayer by our church. That you have been spent so far many, many hours prayed over. That was a weird way to say that. You've been prayed for a long time already, but we're going to continue praying over you as you go off into this next chapter. So as you wrap yourself, be reminded that you are wrapped in prayer from your church family. The second gift that we are giving you is this book called Dream Big by Bob Goff. Now, I love this book. I've been giving this book out for the last few years to students, so you're probably like, I knew this was coming. It's not a surprise, and that's because it's so good for you guys in what you're about to go into. This is a season where you are going to be dreaming some big dreams. You have big ambitions of what God can do through you, and we don't want you to limit that. Don't say, well, I can't do that. That's not who I am. Dream big. This is the time to dream big, to say, God, I want you to do something big in my life. Dream big with God. And so instead of saying, hey, Greg, wow, that was weird. Hey, Greg, why'd you give me a book? I don't like reading. Let this be the one book you read besides your textbooks, because you're all going to read all your textbooks, right? Let this be the one book you read for fun this next year, to have big ambitions with God of what he can do in your life as you enter into his story. And so I'm going to give you a little preview of what you'll be reading. On page 100, so once you get there, you'll be like, oh yeah, Greg read this to me. It says, finding your genuine, lasting ambitions is not an easy task. If it were, you had already accomplished it. It requires asking the questions, what do you care about? What are you willing to risk everything for? And why are you so afraid? All at the same time. It's going to take some digging and sorting and thinking and rethinking, but this effort is worth it. Because when you figure out what lights you up and will outlast your other ambitions, this will inform your next steps. So our prayer for you as you're going off into this next chapter is to dream big, to have those big God-sized goals that only you and God can take on. And know that when you're doing those things, we're back here cheering you on. We are back here supporting you and praying for you as you do those big dreams. And the last gift that we have for you this morning is a care package. And so you'll get this envelope, and it'll have a care package request form inside it. And so when times are getting rough next year, it might happen. It's maybe a big test that you have coming up or a paper that you're dreading, or maybe you're just really hungry and you just want something. It'll take a while, so think of postage and all that. So it's not going to be like an instant kind of thing. But if you're just feeling like you need some support, fill out this request form and mail it back to us. It's already pre-addressed and stamped, so you don't even have to pay the 70-whatever cents it'll be next year for postage. Send it back to us. Send it back to the church here. Know that you are supported by this church. Not just now, today, on this Sunday that we say, hey, it's Senior Sunday. Well, we never think about them again. But know that you are being prayed for. You are being supported going from here as well. And if you're ever back in town, we would love for you to stop and say hi. It's kind of weird for me to say, because if you're ever in Alexandria, you can stop and say hi there too. But know that just because you're gone and we don't get this connection face-to-face often, that we still love you, that we still are supporting you and cheering for you guys. And so as we wrap up this time, as I said at the very beginning of my time talking, we want to commission them. We want to send them off into what God has for them in this next chapter of life. And so I encourage all who are here in this place and those who are watching online to extend your hand towards these seniors. And we're going to pray over them. So would you join with me in prayer? God, I thank you for these seniors. I thank you for all the things that you are going to do in their lives. God, I thank you for the ways that you have knit them together to be the person that they are standing in front of us. And God, for those things that you're going to teach them and challenge them to grow in. God, I pray that as they go into this next chapter of life, that you go before them, that you show yourself to them, that they are reminded that you are always with them, that you never leave nor forsake them. So God, go before our seniors. Remind them of your love often. And let them do great things in your story through the gifts that you have given them. We pray all this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.